Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dopest dads out there, the Fatherhood is Lit community. We are on lockdown all over the world, and we are being tested in ways we've never been tested before. So how does a dad stay strong during this pandemic or any other time when things go all the way left? Today, we're talking about that and staying strong with Kenny Thomas, a.k.a. Clutch, a.k.a. the Dancing Dad. What's good, Kenny?
What's going on, brother? Thanks for having me on.
Yo, and for the people that don't know, Kenny right now is actually on the road driving. You know we keep it real out here. He is driving. He just picked up a birthday cake for his daughter. So happy birthday to your daughter, man, for real.
Hey, yeah, man, it's lit, man. She was actually supposed to be in Paris today, but unfortunately with the pandemic going on, she wasn't able to do that on her school trip. So we making it do what we do as best as we can for her sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm expecting a lot of dancing today, bro. I'm expecting that from you guys.
Oh yeah, it's coming heavy. It's coming heavy.
Yeah. So while everybody else is now jumping onto these dance challenges, you were the first to do so without being nominated, bro. How did that all begin?
My son was in the hospital, and my son was diagnosed with leukemia. He was born with Down syndrome, which is, you know, the medical term is called trisomy 21. So basically it means that your 21st chromosome has three copies of the same chromosome gene. Uh-huh. And when he was born, he had a rare blood disorder. So that rare blood disorder turned into leukemia about 14 months into his life. So what we ended up doing was we ended up just dancing for him in the hospital. They were bringing these like ukuleles and stuff like that, trying to like entertain my son. And I was just like, you know what? I'm a dancer. You know, I own a dance studio. Even though I can't be in a dance studio right now, I could still at least train and keep my son happy, I guess, because he loves it when I dance. And again, I wasn't beat for the ukuleles that they was trying to bring in because we hip hop over here. You feel me? So
Got to keep it real.
I keep it real. Like, I ain't beat for all of that, man. Like, look, I appreciate the love that y'all trying to spread, but my son ain't beat for all of that. Like, so I just started dancing for him. And next thing you know, we 32 days straight into the hospital, and we just keep doing these dances every single day to not only for him, but also for the people that needed encouragement. Like, when you in a bad situation, you know, use your gift.
Yeah.
Oh, he's tripping.
Oh, he tried to take you out? He tried to take you out on the road, bro? You got to be careful out there.
Almost tried, but he just ran a red light.
So you started dancing, and it went from doing it for your son to make him smile to making yourself smile, but then you started realizing that it was making other people feel good?
Absolutely, man. Like, I would get, dude, you don't understand how many messages I got from people and, like, what dancing with my son was doing for them. And I realized that sometimes, you know, we were in, well, first, before I say that, we were already in quarantine, right? So we were already in quarantine when this is back in 2018. And we learned or whatever inside that time frame to just use our gift. And when I started using my gift even more, that's when everything turned into something bigger, and the Sierra thing popped off, and then we was on the news everywhere, and, you know, the world named me the Dancing Dad. I didn't even know I was a Dancing Dad. The world called me the Dancing Dad. I'm like, oh, snap. Like, all right.
I'll take that. That's crazy, though, because you took a time when most of us would have been super down, right? Like, I'm pretty sure you were sad, you were out of it. But you still found something to bring joy to people, and you're calling that your gift, right? How can people find their gift when they're so down and out, man?
Oh man, because first of all, my faith brought me through every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta have faith. I know it's so cliche to say, but let me put it to the people like this, right? When you're in a trying time or situation, Well, first and foremost, every person was brought here for a reason. We all have purpose, right? Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you blow, you're breathing, and you don't see nothing come out, you're breathing air that you cannot see, right? So that's why I need to say faith without works is dead. You got to walk by faith and not by sight, right? What comes first before sight? Faith becomes before sight. What comes before work? Faith comes before the work. You know what I'm saying? So everything that we do and everything that we see in life comes from the inside first. So you got to know that you got to have some sort of faith to get through. And I'm just a very optimistic person, yo. I believe that, you know, I could find the good in almost anything. You know what I'm saying? Almost anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know I mean, like, I could find the good in it. And I just refuse to lose. I'm a super competitor. I came from the battle hip hop world, dancing and everything, and I don't like to lose. I just don't at anything. Like, I'm just that type of person. Like, you cannot and will not beat me. And if I lose, I'm gonna learn from that mistake, and I'm gonna continue to move forward. So it comes from, you know, having an enormous amount of faith. It's important to not beat yourself up. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't beat you up. You beat yourself up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you lose yourself.
We sit there and say, like, oh, man, I shouldn't have did this. I'm so mad at myself. And why me? Why me? Why me? But why not you? Like, why not you? Like, you were born here for a reason, and you got this challenge for a reason. Don't sit there and have a pity party or whatever about it. Figure out how you're going to overcome that adversity, so that you can sit here and, because what you're going through is not really for you anyway. Mm. You're going through this for somebody else, because there are other people out there that are battling the same thing that you're battling, but you are the one that were chosen to deal with it, to overcome that. So that's how I looked at the entire situation. Yeah, I had my moments that I was down, and it, you know what I mean? But those moments right there is where I called to God, like, yo, like, I need your strength right now, because we feel like we can do it on our own strength. That's why people really, like, you know, don't know how to overcome certain trying situations, because we think we can do it on our own, and we can't. Like, that's not what we were created for. Yes, we're strong and we have strength, but if you call on God's strength, for real, not, I ain't talking about, like, no hokey-dokey stuff. I'm talking about, if you get down to the nitty-gritty and give God a real chance to be inside your life, yo, watch how things turn around.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think, you know, it almost sounds to me like you're saying it's all about, like, the mindset, right? Where it's like, I was chosen to fight this battle, right? But I was also chosen to fight through this battle and uplift others. Is that what you mean? Like, you're basically setting yourself up to be like the, like, while everybody else is complaining about these situations, you're going to complain, but you're still going to do something about it to show them that, yo, we could overcome this. Am I correct in that assumption?
Absolutely. Like, let's take this for example. Like, so my son, we were battling cancer for 149 days, right? Yeah. They told us that we were going to be battling cancer for over 300 days. Mm. So we cut the time in half simply because we changed our mindset. We changed the way we think, the way we move, and how we give off, you know, our positive energy to other people as well, too. So, you know what I'm saying? What you give out, you shall receive back. So, if you give positive, then you're going to receive positive. Now, every person that you give positivity to may not accept the positivity. And you may not receive that same positivity back from that person. So, I don't want people to get it twisted to be like, oh, I was nice to this person, but they wasn't nice to me, so how come? But you said, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you give out positivity, you're going to receive it back. It may not be from the vessel that you gave it out to. It may be from other people. So we gave out positivity. And for example, I sold T-shirts while we were in the hospital. Mm-hmm. From that, me selling T-shirts and giving out positive love, positive energy to people, they loved our message so much. We made $75,000 grossing, on T-shirts while I had to shut my dance studio down.
Mm-hmm. So you could survive.
Like, of course, that's not all the, that's not including, you know, what we actually took home because expenses, taxes, and stuff like that. But we grossed $75K. And it's not about money, but that's just an example of what, because of the amount of hot love that we put out, we received that back in return. You know what I'm saying? So we learned to change our minds. It's like I say all the time, when we change the mind, we change the game. So change the mindset. Don't put on your mindset, put on the mindset of Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. We put on the mindset of Christ and think like him, walk like him. You know what I'm saying? And things will start to change in our lives. And when negativity comes, we will have the wisdom that we need to attack that particular situation.
Yeah, nah, I love it. You know, that it's all about like optimism, right? Like you said, like we're sitting there for over 100 days instead of like throwing out negative stuff and crying over it every single day. You try to find a way to make it positive. And it's almost like that positive energy turns everything into like something better, right? But how do we balance out being realistic, right? And then being hopeful.
Right.
How did you balance that out? Because I can sort of tell how you balanced that out, and it was through positivity. But I would love to hear it from you. You know what I mean?
Right. So here's the balance right here, right? I do this all the time with a lot of different people. I tell them take a piece of paper, write down 5 to 10 positives that are in your life. On one side. On the other side, write down 10 negatives that are going on in your life. Right? Now, what you do is you look at all your positives, and then you look at all your negatives. From the positive standpoint, what can you use to attack a certain negative that's on the other side of the sheet? So, for example, I'm a dancer, right? Or I'm a speaker. Those are positive tangibles that I have. And then on the other side, I got, what's negative? Oh, I got this negative person that's in my life, or this negative friend or family or whatever. So how do I get this person out, right? Well, because I'm good with words, I can actually speak this person off, you know what I'm saying, and get that toxic out of my life. Or maybe it's money. Maybe you're having financial issues, and that's a negative in your life. Well, I dance, so I'm going to use dancing and speaking to get this negative off of my page. You know what I'm saying? So
you double down on your skills.
You double down on it, right? So now you got positives on one side, then you got positives on the other side, because what you did was you took all the positives and wiped out all the negatives. So now you got a wall that's on each side of you, both positive. Now, what's going to happen is the negatives are always going to try and peek back in. But because you just did the exercise, right, now you know how to filter that out. And when the negativity comes back in, you just use that positive tangible on either side to knock that negativity out, to create your balance. So it's important that, you know, that we work on that exercise. And then at the same time, having time for yourself to get your peace right, to get your inner peace correct.
Oh, hold on a second though, because that was the next question right there. Like, how do you take that? Like, how do you go from, all right, maybe I had this one rough patch here, right? I overcome it. Now I get hit with another rough patch. Yo, I'm about to quit.
Right.
Like, how do you keep yourself mentally stable to do these things? Like, do you take a second? You know, do you take an hour and just like, you know, have a cup of tea and just think? Like, how does somebody mentally keep themselves in the game?
So, first of all, this is what I do every day. I wake up maybe around 5-6 o'clock in the morning, right? And the reason why I wake up if I didn't have to wake up at 5 a.m., I wouldn't. The only reason why I do is because I got 4 kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
they'll wake you up if you don't wake up.
And here's the deal. They're going to wake up, right? And then the day, you got to punch in right there. Like, it's go time until 9 p.m. at night. I need my time. See, humans, a lot of us are selfish, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't you use your selfishness to your advantage to create your peace? Use your selfishness to then put out the positivity on others. And what I mean by that is I get up, I pray, I be with myself, you know what I'm saying? I get into my word, I get my coffee right, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just chilling. It's peaceful downstairs on my couch in my house. It's nothing else going on. It's silence. And that silence is just so like peaceful right there. Yeah. I need that. Otherwise, my day is going to be jacked up. You know what I'm saying? Perfect example. This morning, it's my daughter's birthday. My kids this morning, my two boys, Javion and Caleb, like, I got boys, so they always going to be, you know, back and forth bickering at each other. So, you know, my wife is downstairs making them breakfast. They arguing over something that's silly, that means nothing, absolutely nothing.
The usual, right?
Right. You know what I'm saying? But neither one of them prayed yet. You know what I'm saying? Neither one of them went at, like, they're trained to make sure you spend time with God first thing in the morning before you do anything. So now y'all look at y'all sitting here fighting back and forth over stuff because y'all didn't take care of your priority. I believe that people should have a priority list in their life. Yeah. And the priority list shouldn't start with money first. You know what I'm saying? The priority list should start with God first. Why? Because money didn't wake you up at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? True. Your wife didn't wake you up at the end of the day. She might have shook you, but somebody told her to shake you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta understand that, you know, God's breath is in our lungs. Again, like I said, we breathe in air that we can't even see. So it's a spirit that's inside of you. Like, listen, yo. Like, that's what wakes you up. That's what motivates me to get with them first thing in the morning. Otherwise, I'm no good to nobody. So that's how you say I stay motivated, because I'm like, dang, yo, look at these statistics. I'm still out here surviving because I'm still blessed to wake up because look how many people died yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, look how many people are dying.
It's almost like you take a second to be grateful. It's like you take a second just to be, like, grateful that you're still breathing in a situation like this.
Mm-hmm. Your gratitude is everything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Your gratitude is everything. And if we live with a better mindset of gratitude, like, look, I know somebody listening to this right now, they probably be like, look, I got so much going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know where to start. Start with you.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Start with you. That's what you do. You start with yourself. You talk to God, you get yourself right. Is it going to change overnight? Absolutely not. But that's the thing. We want things or whatever so quick. I mean, look at everything in the world. Snapchat, snap. Look into the terminology of that. Snap. Instagram, instant, quickly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want everything like so fast. TikTok. Everything is like you on a clock. But I think, like, if we take a step back to be with God, be with ourselves, you know what I'm saying, pray, meditate, you know what I'm saying, and get busy with that, yo. Get busy with that, because it's vital right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, like it starts off with the mindset, right? And then it goes into you being grateful for being in the situation. Like, I tell people all the time, yo, you get stuck in traffic, yo, be grateful that it's your car that you're stuck in. You know what I mean? Like, you're not walking. It's always finding those little things. And I like to tell people all the time, like, with your mindset or with your being, a broken dad can't help nobody. So if you're if you're not mentally stable because you're not taking the time to do you, then you can't be the best self that you possibly can for your kids. So now they suffer. So that's my motivation to take time for myself. You know what I mean? Where I know if I'm not my best self, if I'm tired, If I didn't get to do what I wanted to do and they woke me up, they might have a rough day because my attitude is thrown off. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, yo, how can I be the best? How can I be the best dad if I can't even be the best me at this moment?
Exactly, yo. Because you got to understand, as fathers, we are the leaders. Word. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of our households. We're the kings of our household. We're the leaders. And last time I checked, you know what I'm saying, every entity or every business or whatever, the leader had to be with themselves at first to get this idea off the ground. in to make sure that they were right in order to serve the masses, in order to serve the people, in order to serve your family. Like, there's no way that you're going to be able to serve your family. It's like this, yo. You'll find, like, in the Bible or whatever, mad times where Jesus went to go be by himself to go pray. Mm-hmm. It says it mad times in the Bible. Why? This is the leader we're talking about. This dude is leading men, leading the world, and he takes time for himself to go pray. You know what I'm saying? And if he's doing that or whatever, why shouldn't we follow? So it's like you gotta make sure that you have that time with yourself, especially as a father, and especially in today's time, because our kids or whatever is we entering a whole new world, a whole new era, and if we don't have great leadership under our belts or whatever, we in trouble.
Yeah, and then there's no blueprint for this. You know what I mean? Nope. There's no blueprint for this. So if you like mentally clock out, we're done. You know what I mean? Like, yep. We're done. Like, there's nobody that's gonna come save us and say, "Yo, clock back in, dogs. This is, you know, you gotta handle this." You know what I mean? You know that's crazy, because, you know, like, dads, they can't show that they're worried, or sometimes they can't even mourn when they want to, right? How do we fight that notion, bro? Like, how do we get our people to say, "Yo, let me be selfish and take time for myself," when in society tells us, "Yo, you the superhero, bro. You can't be crying. You can't be showing none of this."
Right. That's when you have to have that relationship. Your faith has to have. You have to have that relationship with your faith heavy, mm-hmm. and you have to know that it's okay within mm-hmm. ourselves. It's okay. Like, it's okay to show that. Like, mm-hmm. show that vulnerability. The more that you, 'cause I put it to you like this. A lot of us like to show that everything is okay on the outside, but we don't like to show what's going on the inside.
Yep.
Right? On the inside, look, you could be a billionaire and have a reckless home.
Yeah. It could still be in shambles.
It could still be in shambles, right?
Yeah.
So we got to stop this narrative of, you know, men can't cry, or men can't be sensitive to certain things or whatever, or it's corny or whatever, but you're a man up and this, that, and the third, you know what I mean? Hold up. Jesus cried. Jesus wept. So you mean to tell me that the man that did all these miracles in life, you know what I'm saying, it's okay for him to cry, but it's not okay for us? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's we gotta stop this narrative. See, society tries to put this whole thing on, you know, men have to be this and men have to be, we get put up on this pedestal of we can't cry or we can't be sensitive to this stuff or whatever,
we're soft if we do that, look,
my boys, I'm gonna keep it real with you, my boys cry almost every day, mm-hmm. right, over something, right?
Yep. Like the Wi-Fi not working correctly.
Right.
That's my household.
Wi-Fi, like, yo, or no, my boys don't cry over Wi-Fi. They cry if they can't go outside.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if they can't go outside because it's raining, oh, they got an attitude. Right? So then they start crying. But if, let's say mommy's having a bad day, you know what I'm saying? They'll have a bad day too. Like, they'll cry about that too, which is perfectly okay, mm-hmm. right?
It's normal. Yeah.
Now, what we do is, as men and mothers, we say this: listen, it's okay to cry, but understand exactly what you're crying over. I get it. You want to go outside, you want to play, but right now is not the time. We got to stop being impatient with our children and start explaining to them, you know, what
emotions
are. I'm not
are.
Telling you what you should. Yeah, what emotions are, and what I'm not telling you what you should and shouldn't cry over, but explain to them, like, listen, yo, it's not that you can't go outside. We're not trying to hold that back from you, but we're trying to protect you and keep you safe. We don't want you to go outside and get sick because you're out there in the rain or whatever, or it's muddy and you're going to get dirty. And you know what I mean? Kids don't understand it. All they want to do is just roll. And some adults don't understand that either. You know, what do you mean I got to stay in the house? Like, for weeks and weeks. Like, what do you mean? Like, some people are crying right now. And it's like, listen, man, like, maybe God is trying to tell you something. Like, maybe he want to talk to you. Maybe because you've been so busy and you've been rocking, doing your thing, making money, and that's all you're really concerned about, and you're not really, really thinking about what life itself is all about. You're worrying about pieces of paper or whatever that come from trees, you know what I'm saying, versus the real life issues or whatever that go on, how to attack your emotions and what's your purpose in life. So when it comes down to, like, us men, you know, we gotta learn how to explain that. Me, I've learned to discern, you know, what to cry over, what not to cry over, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes life just gets so heavy in life where it's just like, you just got to let that out. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay because you're dealing with real life issues.
It's actually soft if you don't let it out. Because it's almost like you're not confident in yourself. Like, I'm confident enough to say, yo, if you come after my child, I'm going to protect myself to the fullest. But I'm also confident enough to say that, yo, if my dad gets sick and I cry in front of you, dogs, I'm still a tough guy, bro. That doesn't make me soft. Yep. That makes me connected. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because you got that, you have that emotion. Like, my dad, I'm going to be real with you. My dad is, you know, a military man. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a military household, and my dad was in the Army. And he came from the Army when the Army was, like, from the 70s, like, cutthroat. I don't know how the Army is now, but then, oh man, it was a different ball game.
Yeah, they were tough. Like, a man is a man. You cry, you done.
Yeah, you know straight up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And no diss to our military now or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't, that's not a shot or nothing like that. I really mean, I don't know how it is nowadays. So I just know from that point or whatever, I've never seen this man cry. I'll be 36 next week. In all my years of living, I've never seen this man shed not one tear at all for anything that has happened in our family, in our life. I've seen him show emotion and get angry, of course.
Yeah.
But I've never seen him shed a tear. And I don't know if that is because of his upbringing. I don't know, you know, what happened maybe in the Army. Maybe they shaped him that way. You know, so we got to be careful because sometimes in life, it's our environment that won't let us show that emotion.
Yeah. My dad is the same way, bro. Like, he's an Army dude and same thing. I never seen him cry. And you know what? You made me think about that. Like, maybe that's why he's missed. Like, my dad has always been super active with me, but my community knows that he missed, like, my wedding and he missed my my graduation from college and getting my master's. And I was always angry at him for missing it because, you know, he chose work over that. But maybe he missed it because he didn't want to show the world that he was going to cry there. Like, I'm pretty sure he would have saw me on that stage grabbing that degree. He probably would have been crying. And I'm starting to think about that. I'm thinking, man, maybe he just didn't want to show that side. You know what I mean? And that sucks because I'll never forget. But now I'm starting to get a little bit more understanding. You know what I mean? Maybe where the way he was raised and the way that he had to go out there and make a name for himself was so much different that he just can't do that. You know what I mean? It's ingrained in his system where it's like, I can't show that emotion. Because he didn't even cry for, like, his mama passed and he didn't cry. Like, he hugged me. I could feel, I could feel he was sad. I could feel that. But I didn't see a tear come down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You may not have seen it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he is dads are like our first superhero in a sense.
Yep.
So in their mind, no matter how old we get, they are still looking at us as in, I'm the protector.
Yeah.
Even though he's a grown man, I'm the protector.
And he's still
I can't
daddy.
Let my shield down for nothing. I'm still dad. Yeah. So I'm not letting my shield down for nothing. I'll cry on my own time. I'm going to keep it real. Like, when my son was in the hospital, I didn't cry in front of my wife or my kids. I cried on my own time, going over the Ben Franklin Bridge, pouring rain and storming out. That's when I was crying.
Yeah.
As I'm driving to the hospital, bro.
So who's there for you though, man? Like, who do we turn to, bro, in situations like that? Like, is it just faith?
I opened up that word, bro. Yeah. I opened up that word and I got in. I got in the mix. Like, I wanted to, like, because I've always been told, you know, that God's word will bring us through, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the time, and then God in the word or whatever, God says, test me in these things. Right? In the book of Malachi, it says, test me in these things and see if I won't pour out the blessings from heaven, you know, unto your life. And I'm like, well, all right, here we go. So let's test it.
Let's live it. Let's actually live it now. Right? Like, let's step up.
Let's see. Right, yeah. So let's see if God is true to his word. And brother, I'm telling you, I'm finding out the real deal. And he is. You know what I'm saying? And you want to know who was there for me? You know what I'm saying? Like, the God placed people in my life or whatever, and he orchestrated this entire thing on who was going to be there for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got a handful of, I can't name all the names or whatever, the people that were there for me and for mm-hmm. and for our family. You know what I'm saying? But they know who they are, and God, like, strategically put these people in our life during this time. Now, was there somebody there to hit me up every single day? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? But I did get phone calls. I got many phone calls, many messages and stuff like that. But in those times at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, where you on a bunk, you on a cot, in the hospital room, you know what I'm saying? The buzzer's going off, you know what I'm saying? And every 30 minutes, the nurse is coming in to check your son or to draw blood or something like that. My wife is sitting there asleep. I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking up and down, like, yo, man, like, this is crazy. That's when a tear may shed, mm-hmm. may come down, like, and I just keep saying, like, yo, this is going to pass. We're going to be over soon. We almost there. We almost there. We almost there. If you keep saying that to yourself, we almost there. We almost there. We almost there. You know what I'm saying? Like, just keep saying that to yourself over and over
you
and over.
You start believing it. And you start believing it's coming.
Start believing it, and it start happening. Yeah. It starts happening.
Yeah, because now you notice, like, that one positive thing that goes with what you were asking for, right? Where it mm-hmm. might be a good day at the hospital, right? And now you're like, yo, because I was thinking positive, I was able to see something positive.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost like when you're always searching for negative, like, let's throw it out there to the fellas out there. Like, if your girl's always looking for a number that you're cheating on her or something, right? It's like that old saying says, sooner or later, they'll find something. It might not actually fit what they were looking for, but they're going to find something negative. And it's the same thing here where it's like you're thinking positive. So you're going to be more aware of positive things actually happening.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. And you have to stay positive, especially during, you know, the most trying situations, man. Yeah. You have to try to find, Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, what did he say? He said, hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. Well, mm-hmm. negativity can't drive out negativity. Only positivity can do that.
Oh, that's a fact, bro. That's a fact. That's a quotable right there, bro, for real.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know? So, we have to stay strong. You have to stay positive. And some people are just, you know, unfortunately, they you don't want to, it's not that they're not mentally strong. They don't want to put in the work to be mentally strong. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They want everything to come to them. You know what I'm saying? They want an extroverted victory, but they don't want to put in the extroverted effort. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when in reality, they're true introverts in everything in life, which is okay, but you being an introvert ain't going to sit there and get you the extroverted victory. You want the goal. You want the prize. You know what I'm saying? You want everything that just passed by and do it on its own. You know what I'm saying? And it's not working like that. You actually have to put in the work. Yep. You know what I'm saying? You got to.
Nah, that's a fact. Well, I'm going to ask you just two more questions because I know you're going to go celebrate the Sweet 16, man. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. But, you know, for the dads out there, like, you know, I like to keep it super real for the dads, man. And one of the hardest things for us fathers to do is to seek out help, right? How do you seek out help? And that's the first part of it. And then the second part of it is, how do you not fear that people won't step up to be there to help?
Well, seeking out help or whatever deals with who's already in your circle.
Okay.
So, yep. You know what I'm saying? I think that, one, you have to reevaluate who's around you the most so that you know what kind of, you know, who's the best person or whatever to help you in your situation.
I love that.
Many times, like, we're dealing with the wrong circle. We're dealing with the wrong circle of people, and you're not getting the help that you need. You're going in like a, you know, it's like a revolving door. You're always going in and out, in and out, in and out. I would suggest, you know, finding the right people to influence, you know, your life. Ask yourself this question. Who is bringing value to my life, right? And if this person is not bringing value to your life, then that person may be a person that you don't need to associate with on that level. Not saying to get rid of them completely, but they just can't bang with you on that level.
Yeah, they're not like your first go-to. You know what I mean? Like your expectations for them aren't at the highest.
Right, exactly. Especially with what you need to accomplish. So if you need to accomplish something where, you know, you're trying to get out of a rut. I was talking to a homie the other day, and, you know, he achieved high levels in life, but now he's not in a great place. But what did he do? We haven't spoken years and years. We haven't spoke, but it was about the circle that he was around. So he hits me up and he was like, yo, man, like, tell him what's going on. We let it out. You know what I'm saying? He cried or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's like, listen, man, I'm not in a good place right now. And admitting the fact that you're not in a good place, you know what I'm saying, is the first step or whatever of getting that help. Yeah. So then, you know, he was like, yo, man, like, the bread ain't coming in, da-da-da-da-da. Like, everything is just going, you know, crazy for me. And I was just like, yo, well, bro, like, how's your prayer life? You know what I'm saying? He was like, yo, for real, my prayer life or whatever ain't really on it like that, like I should be. You know what I'm saying? And this is a man or whatever whose dad was a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As well, too. But the thing is that, like, yo, we discussed it. We went over some things. I gave him some tools to work with. He felt encouraged. You know what I'm saying? He had another phone call, hangs up, calls me back 5 minutes later. He said, yo, bro, he said, you're not going to believe or whatever. I just got approved. You know what I'm saying? For, you know, to receive. I think it was like a job or something like that or whatever. They was going to give him like a $5,000 bonus or something like that. And he went up. He was able to go up. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, to go ahead and get his $5,000 bonus. Like, man, we were literally on the phone. You know what I'm saying? We sitting there praying. And then, boom, next thing you know, he called me back. Son, like, look what just happened. That's not a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? But it's just about where your heart is leading. So you just need somebody to point your heart in the right direction.
I love that. I love that answer. Like, it's about reevaluating the circle. Because it's like, mm-hmm, when I first quit my job about 8 years ago, nobody would call me. Everybody was like, yo, this dude went from six figures to no figures. Like, I'm not messing with him. But I had a close, like, six or seven friends that said, yo, I knew you were going to quit your job, bro. Like, I knew you don't follow the right path. Like, you don't follow that written path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those people haven't left my side till this day. You know what I mean? But the rest of them is like, they're garbage.
Yeah, man. It's like when I close my dance studio down, man, please look. Like, there are people out there or whatever that I don't even talk to anymore. Like, as soon as I close the dance studio, it's a wrap. Like,
they forgot.
It is what it is. Like,
they forgot. How do you not this is going to be one of those questions that I know this is perfect for a dad, right? Like, how do you not hold it against someone for not being there in a time of need? Like, how do you not do that? Because I'm not good at that, bro. Like, I'm the type that, yo, if you're not there for me and it's been a few months, maybe a year or so, and I'm starting to figure out that you're not really there for me, yo, I block you, bro. I don't let you back in my circle. And I'm starting to find out that that's not always the best thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, well, number one, I'm not trying to block my blessings. Why would I block somebody? You know what I'm saying? Because if the thing is, I know I'm right. I know that the way that I'm walking, the path that I'm walking, and how many people I'm actually blessing every day, mm-hmm, I'm not trying to block you from that blessing either. Just because you was shady towards me or you was foul towards me, I'm not trying to block you from seeing that blessing, because at some point you may get it. Mm-hmm. At some point or whatever, you may understand, you know what I'm saying? And then you're going to come back around, you know, and be like, yo, look, like, my bad, I apologize, boom, boom. And now that person is back in your life, maybe at a distance, be wise or whatever on who you bring back in. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm not trying to block anybody, you know what I'm saying? Unless I know for a fact that the spirit is telling me, don't allow this person or whatever back in. You'll know who to let, you know what I mean? You'll know who to let in and who not to. Your spirit's gonna sit there and talk to you and tell you, like, look, it's a red X or whatever on that dude or whatever. Keep that person away. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and it's like knowing how to forgive people as well. Yeah. It's more for you than it is for them.
Yeah, because that's hard, you know, bro. Like the forgiveness part is something that's really, really difficult, especially for somebody like me. Because I look back and I start saying, damn, like, like right now with the corona thing, it's like, yo, if you didn't call me during this corona thing, I don't know if I want you in my circle. But at the same token, you might be dealing with something that I just don't know of. You know what I mean? And it's hard for me because I always look back and I say, damn, I help so many. Like, I'm always on top of things helping. Where's my help? And then when I look at these people, I say, yo, you know what? All right, man, you're not helping, you're taking. And it's making me reevaluate. You know, this conversation is making me reevaluate how I approach that. You know what I mean? Because it is with the mindset.
But you are the help. That's the thing. Like, you're the one. See, we're here to serve at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're here to serve. I wouldn't expect nothing else in return, because at the end of the day, you get up every single day. That's number one. That's the ultimate blessing.
Yeah, and the other people don't owe you anything. Like, God already repaid you. He woke your ass up.
Good, exactly. Yeah. So, for example, there's a young boy. I spoke at this school a couple months ago. This young boy hit me up at the school he went to the school that I spoke at, and he said, I got a problem. I said, what's up? He was like, you know, his dad is back in his life, and he hasn't talked to his dad like that. I said, okay, what's the problem? He said, well, I don't really know if I really want to, like, you know, talk to him and everything or try and build a relationship with him again because, you know, he has cancer now. So I don't want to make it seem just because he got cancer or whatever that now, you know, we talking and stuff like that just because it's a bad situation. I said, well, how do you know that your dad doesn't need you more now than ever? You know what I'm saying? I know that your dad or whatever may have been, you know, not the best father in your life, you know what I'm saying, or the best example, but maybe you're the example that he needs. Maybe you need to be there, whatever, so that he can see what he's missing. Maybe cancer, whatever, plagued his life so he can actually see what type of father he's actually being right now before it's actually too late, and so that he can actually fulfill his purpose, and God has given him another chance to fulfill his purpose within you. Mm-hmm. So don't hold a grudge or whatever. The Bible says, honor thy mother and thy father. It doesn't say, honor thy mother and thy father, whether they deserve it or not.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to be careful, you know, with that. I said, forgiveness is just like I told you, forgiveness is more for you than it is for him. God may be testing you in that matter, whereas in you blocking this person or whatever, but how many times did you actually mess up? How many times do you sit there or whatever and mess up every single day? How many times do you actually sin every single day? And I still forgive you. I still wake you up every day. So what happens or whatever if God blocked me every time I sit there and mess up and I do a mistake?
Oh, yeah. It's like, how what if he limits you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's real. Like, so that could be the test right there. You sitting there holding a grudge or whatever on somebody. What if God held a grudge on you?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? So we gotta think. That's how I think. Like, I don't block nobody. You know what I'm saying? I do keep people at a, you know, certain people at a distance, and it's cool. But I ain't gonna sit here and be like, nah, like, you know, get away from me forever. I'm not God. I can't do that.
Nah, I love it, man. You're gonna make me go back into like Instagram and unblock a couple people, bro. For real, because you know them trolls be coming at you hard, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, you just gotta be careful. Use discernment. You know what I'm saying? Like, be careful with who. Like, you'll know. Pray about it.
Yeah.
You'll know. That's why I pray so hard, because it's like, yo, Lord, lead me. Because I don't want to move on my own understanding. Mm-hmm. My understanding could be the wrong one. So if I'm led to, I'm blocked. You know what I'm saying? Man. And if not, stay blocked.
And take those blessings from behind the block screen, bro.
Yeah, straight up.
What's next for you, man? Like, what's going on? What are you going to do after? Well, right now, you know, we're on lockdown. So what are you planning to do next, especially after this lockdown, with your brand?
Right now with the brand, I'm just, you know, I'm loading up the podcast with a bunch of speakers, a bunch of, inspirational people, mothers, fathers, everybody that got a story. Right now, my job is to lace the world with as much positivity as possible during this pandemic. I do have some speaking engagements that's set up for the fall. So we locking those down. and getting it in there. But the main thing right now is my job is to fulfill these families with as much positivity as possible and to continue to give hope and do some more dancing with my kids just to continue to be that spark during this time. But mainly, you know, just to be a light in the darkness, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nah, and I think you're serving that already. Like, I think you're doing that, like, every day. I think you're true to your cause, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, next year we plan to do an event called the Fam Affair, and basically helping families get to that next level in life, whether it be in business, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, building growth with their children. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different seminars that are out there for business, but I want to put out a seminar that's going to be straight up for families, the whole family. 50% of marriages end up in divorce, you know what I'm saying, here in America. So we trying to knock them numbers down, and we want to be able to give these families, you know, a little bit more hope that you can actually fix it and remind them why you fell in love in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in there. We're in there with the whole crew, bro. You're right.
Let's get it.
You're not down the block, but you're down a couple blocks, so we good.
Hey, let's get it.
We head up out of there. So how can people reach out to you, man? What's the best way?
So they can hit me up on Instagram at KennyClutch_. That's where I hang out the most. They can also find me on Facebook, Kenny Clutch Speaks on Facebook. And if anybody would like to have me come out and speak to their organization, they can just hit me up on my website, which is also linked to my Instagram. It's www.KennyClutchSpeaks.com.
Yeah. Now we need more dads like you out there representing, Kenny, for real. You know, I would like to take the time just to tell you thank you. Not just for the podcast, but for putting that good energy out to this crazy world, bro. You keep people me motivated to continue to do our best for our people, for real.
Like, facts, man. I appreciate that. That's love.
That positive energy is contagious, bro. So thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome, brother.
And thank you for the time, bro. I know you're going to go celebrate right now. It's Sweet 16 time, man. Turn up.
Sweet 16. It's a whole birthday weekend, man. So my daughter's birthday is today, and tomorrow is Christian's birthday. So I got back to back birthdays.
Ooh, turn up time. Yo, it's the best weekend to do it too, man. Hey, we home with the fam.
It's gonna be heavy. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Kenny. Thank you for your time, man. For real. I truly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
To the community, when times get rough, dads just don't step up for their families, they step up for themselves as well. Kenny just taught us how to stay strong when things go left, because that's what dads do. We matter, fellas. Make your presence felt. Fatherhood is lit.